Yeah, we're going to look at Psalm 112, maybe a little bit of Psalm 113 this morning. But the word that stuck out to me as I was reading this psalm was delight. Isn't that such a great word? Delight. There's no time of more delight for me than the summer. I'm a summer guy. I know people say, you know, don't you like the four seasons? I don't really. I like summer. When I was in Indonesia and it was hot every day, I was so thankful. It was hot every day. And I know I look looking strange, but I like it. So delight in the summer. And I had to think of, if you think about summer, what's one thing that's brought you delight this summer? Delight. There's so much happiness and so much depth of happiness and joy in that word. Is there anything that you just felt like delight this summer? Watching things grow.
Sunset.
Sunsets, yeah. Delights. Homemade ice cream, yes.
Walk in the
dark
pool and there's no coldness about it.
All right.
Walk right in.
No coldness in the Groff's pool. That's awesome.
Rainbows.
Yeah, we've seen a bunch of those this summer. Eating fresh blueberries.
And cherries.
And cherries. And blackberries. And raspberries. Yeah.
Rain?
What's that? Rain? Yeah. Rain is such a delight.
Fire vacation.
Family vacation?
Fireflies
at night.
Flowers.
What was it? Tractors, yes. We got a big amen from our family, too, on that one.
New grandkids.
New grandkids.
Nobody's.
It's not exactly a summer thing in any year, but yeah, that is definitely no, there's no greater delight than new grandkids, so they tell me. Well, Psalm 112 starts with, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find not only delight, but great delight in his commands. That's not usually something that we end that sentence with, right? Find great delight in the Lord's commands. We talked about this word blessed a little bit, but Hudson's helped me learn about blessed lately since we learned Psalm 23 together earlier. Now, whenever we're finished brushing teeth, he gets a little water in the cup and he fills it to overflowing. And then he says, I'm blessed. Because in Psalm 23, it talks about my cup running over. So he does that every night. I love it. Such a great reminder for me, too, that yes, we are blessed. But in this psalm, it says we are blessed because we find great delight in his commands. And commands, laws, rules, ways, paths, guidelines are not something that we usually talk about as our delight. Usually they're kind of like, gotta listen to that again. And many times, even as Christians, we can get into that, I gotta do this, I should do that, I need to, maybe you felt this morning, in the chaos of coming to this place, I gotta go to church. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. And often in the Christian life, we can make this glorious relationship with our Father into a bunch of rules that we really should follow. But that's not delight in His command. That makes this glorious relationship into just a religion that we have to go through some motions to try to feel good about ourselves. This came home to me so much when I was in Indonesia, and we were doing this little program with a couple young adult Americans and a couple young adult Indonesians together, learning about discipleship and outreach. And actually, Krista was on that first group that came down with us in Indonesia. And part of their training was to learn about Islam. Of course, you can't come to Indonesia without learning about Islam. At one point, I was getting to know this local Islamic university, helping teach English there one night a week and having a great time. We got to know one of the directors there. He was a great guy and so open. We had so many great conversations. So I asked him at one point to come to this group training session and teach these young people about Islam. They might as well learn from him, right? He knows more than any of us do. And so he began teaching, did a great job helping these young people learn about Islam. But then I'll never forget when he started describing heaven from an Islamic perspective. He said, here on earth, we have these laws that God has given us. And they are a test to see whether we will submit to God. But if we submit to God, all those things that we're giving up now will be available in heaven. Now that might sound crazy if you think through all of what that could mean. But he's saying that the laws of God are not actually good. They're just a test. Eventually, they'll be gone and we can do whatever we want. And that's sometimes how we also fall into that trap as Christians, to think that as long as if we just do enough good things, God will actually give us what we want. But that's not the picture we get of God. Certainly not in Jesus or even in the Old Testament. God's laws are actually leading us to what is best. So we say in heaven actually is the place where God's laws will be perfectly obeyed by everyone, and that will be the most glorious life we could ever imagine. Amen? And that's what the picture we get as we think about what it means, why we would delight in God's laws. The picture of God is not one coming to put burdens and tests on us to see if we'll obey, but a Father that's coming into our lives saying, follow me, look, I can show you where the best life is. And we have that glorious picture, if you read in our psalm reading this week, not only Psalm 12, but 113 gives one of my favorite pictures of God. If you can see Psalm 113 or just listen, verse 4, it says, the Lord is exalted over all the nations. His glory is above the heavens. So great is our God. And it says in verse 5, who is like the Lord our God? That great God is the one who sits enthroned on high. And then in verse 6, who stoops to look on the heavens and the earth. That's such a great picture. The great God of the universe stoops down to look. Looks us straight in the eye, right on our level. And what does he do? He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the ash heap. And he seats them with princes. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. He's not coming to us with shoulds and burdens. He's coming to us saying, look, I can get you out of here. Look, if you will follow me, I will show you the life that you were created for. And that's why God gives us his laws, his ways, his commands, so that we can show forth the glorious life of God. We can experience it and we can show it forth. This was his whole point in bringing the nation of Israel together and teaching them his laws. In Deuteronomy 4:6, it says, God speaking through Moses, says, observe them, the law of the Lord, carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this is a nation wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way our God is near us whenever we pray? And what other nation is so great as to have righteous laws and decrees as this body of laws that I'm setting before you today? In other words, if Israel follows the law of God, they will become the envy of all the other nations. Everybody will look at them and say, wow! That is a great way to live. Who taught you that? Where did you learn that? I had a little taste of that one time when I was volunteering at Immerse before I was working there. I was doing like dishes and cleanup one Saturday, and there was a Chinese professor there who was teaching at Millersville from China. And I was getting to know him. We were talking as we were there, and he said to me once, After he knew that I had three little kids, he said, "What are you doing here?" He had one little kid with him. He's like, "I would be overwhelmed if I was you. Why are you serving here?" I said, "Oh, well, I follow Jesus, and Jesus taught me to love my neighbor. And this is one simple way that I can do that." Oh, I never heard much about that in China. That's a very interesting concept. Now, of course, there are a lot of great people in China who are loving their neighbors very well. But it reinforced in me that this idea that we are learning from Jesus how to turn our selfishness into love is very attractive. People think, wow, I think maybe that is the best way to live. So there are two things that set Israel apart from the other nations in this verse in Deuteronomy. One is God is near them when they pray. And the second is that God teaches them his ways. And we don't have to think too far to make the connection between the great commandments of Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. The presence of God with us. And as the presence of God is with us, then we love our neighbor as ourselves. And it's those two realities that set us apart in the world from every other people, just like they did Israel. And as we delight in those commands that allow us to love God and love our neighbor, then we begin to live a life that the Bible calls blessed. Blessed are those who delight in God's commandments. And we get to see some pictures of those blessings in the verses that Jay read. We already saw a couple in Psalm 113, lifting the poor from the dust and seating them with princes, giving those lonely and shameful a home and a belonging. In Psalm 113 and Psalm 112, we get a bunch of other pictures of what it looks like when the blessing of the Lord flows through a people. Children become mighty. Wealth and riches, there are abundant provision. In darkness, there is light. Good comes to those who give generously. The righteous are never shaken. They're never afraid. Their hearts are steadfast. Their hearts are secure. And they freely give gifts to the poor wherever they go. This is the life, pictures of life in the kingdom of God. This is what blessed means. Now, of course, we often think of blessed as my life. Well, I didn't experience that. Well, I didn't experience that. Well, I didn't experience that. And of course, we live in a broken world where our individual circumstances are impacted by a lot of things, not just our own choices. But the fact is that these are pictures of what God wants to release in the world through people that will say yes to him. Whatever our life circumstances are, wherever we find ourselves, as we offer that to God and say, "Yes, God, this is my life, and I want to use it to love you and to love my neighbor," then these are the kinds of things that start to get released into our life and through our lives. Praise the Lord, right? And that's why we can delight in God's commands, because the more we say yes to God, it's not like the next minute all these things start being released, right? But the more we say yes to God, the more we experience the life of God flowing to us and through us, and the more we say, wow, that really is the best way to live. Wow, giving myself to love God and love others is actually leading me into this life of blessedness, not only for my individual life, but for all of those around me. But the opposite is also true, of course. When we love ourselves, when we hoard blessings to ourselves, when we delight in ourselves and what we accomplish, what we can do, what we think, then we start to push others away. We cut off the blessing of God, and we begin to experience things that are not the blessing of God. Actually, we begin to flow through us things that are not the blessing of God. That's why in Deuteronomy it says so often, God says, "I've set before you today life and death. Blessing and curses, not as a reward for what you do, because that's the result of what you do." So he says, "I set before you blessing and curses, life and death." And then just in case you weren't sure which one to choose, he tells you, "Now choose life." It's not a difficult equation. choose life. That's God's heart for us. In every situation, in every relationship, choose life. And this is the way that you do it. And the more we choose life, and the more we experience life, the more our delight becomes in the ways of God. Wow, God really does know the best way to live. We talked about that in our Sunday school class, that really following God comes down to, do I trust him? That he knows better than I do, or do I not trust him? And as we grow in our faith and trust in God, then we say yes to him more and more. And the more we say yes to him, the more we begin to delight in his commands. It's the same maturing process that happens to us, right? Right now, Hudson thinks, I don't know much. He knows a lot more than I do usually. My mom always said, ask a teenager now, while they know everything. But we also know that once you become young adults, as I found out very quickly, you go running back to your parents because you realize, wow, they knew a lot. They know a lot more than I do. So now I ask my parents a lot more than I did before. And that's the same way it is with God. The more we get to know him, the more we realize, wow, he knows so much. And he is leading me into such beautiful things. So today as we close, that is the options before us are the same as they were before Israel, are the same as they were before those early disciples and down through history. Today, God sets before us blessings and curses life and death and invites us to choose life. And we want to choose life and more. So we're going to do a little, just a simple prayer exercise today as we close. We're going to use that picture of God stooping down and looking us in the eye. So I invite you to close your eyes and just picture that happening. However you picture God or him coming down, just picture him getting right down on your level, right in front of you, and looking straight into your eyes. You can picture that in your mind. It's what it says he does, so we can just imagine that happening. God stooping down, looking straight into our eyes. And you see his eyes looking into yours. Eyes of such incredible compassion. Such incredible power. He knows everything about you. He looks straight to the bottom of your heart and soul. And a simple invitation to us this morning as he looks straight into our eyes, right on our level. It's my daughter, my son. Today I want to lead you deeper into my ways. Can you hear his invitation this morning? My daughter, my son, today I want to lead you deeper into my ways. Just take another minute or two of quiet. I just invite you to hear that invitation as I say it one more time, and then just listen. What are the ways? Are there any specific ways that God wants to invite you deeper into his ways this morning? My daughter, my son, I want to invite you deeper into my ways this morning. So yes, Lord, we say with your people through the ages, everyone who has said yes to you, We say this morning, Lord, we delight in your ways. We are so grateful. You come right down to us. You look us straight in the eye, right where we are, with eyes of such incredible compassion. You invite us to life and life abundant. You deliver us from ourselves, all the things that would destroy us. You lead us into life, love, and truth, and hope, and everything we were created for. Thank you, Lord. Not to us, O Lord, not to us be the glory, but to your name. For your love and faithfulness and everything that we are, we say thank you, Lord. It's because of you. It's because you came and found us. It's because you came and called us. It's because you taught us. Thank you, Lord. Your constant refrain to us is come, come. Come out of the pit. We've got a throne for you to sit on. Come out of the dirt. I've got a crown for your head. Come out of the shame. I've got a glorious robe for you. Come, oh Holy Spirit, we invite you to let that ring in our hearts this week. As we go from this place, that we would come in new ways, wherever we find ourselves this morning, that this week there would be new ways that we enter in to the blessed life that you have caused. And that we come with testimonies, God, as we gather next week and in the weeks to come, that yes, God's ways are good, and this is how I saw it. In the places where it's hard to choose your way at this moment, God, we say, strengthen us, God. Help us to be strength to each other to say yes to you in all the ways you're calling us. Thank you, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Lead us deeper to the truth of our Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.